Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 and 42. Now, they went on their way, or as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations she had to make. So she came up to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part, and it will not be taken away from her." Good morning to all members and followers of White Inch Church. My name is Andy Reid. I think it was great planning by Deborah to schedule our final well-known story from Luke 10 this morning before our upcoming teaching season begins next week. Shona will be introducing the new series next Sunday, but I think the lessons from Mary and Martha are extremely helpful in linking us to all that's to come in church, because what we all want is to have the most fulfilled lives we can as we navigate through our daily challenges. And a fulfilled life is surely a life with Jesus. And the only way to live as Jesus intended is to spend as much time as possible with Jesus, because he rubs off on us. And that invitational position of sitting at his feet begins with moving towards him, his person, his voice, his word, and moving away from distraction. And we do that best, and we repeat doing that, when we understand as much as we can about ourselves and how we are distracted from a fulfilled life in Jesus, which in many ways is what the coming season of teaching is about. So personally, I'm going to dive deep into White Inch Church for the rest of the autumn. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for your word to us this morning. May we each be fulfilled with the knowledge of your love for us as we learn to relax in you and as we learn more about ourselves in the weeks to come. Amen. During my time serving in the Royal Navy, some of us were trained in mountain and Arctic warfare. High up in northern Norway, we'd get very cold a lot of the time. We would rehearse defending against any enemy aggression and get cold doing it. Operating effectively meant learning to survive under pressure and often in low temperatures and bad weather. The biggest killer in the winter Arctic is being too distracted, too stressed by the conditions to survive. We had to practice navigating in deep snow when disorientated in storms, when chasing and being chased, when wet, hungry, cold, and often at night. Yet despite all these crucial skills, we learned surprisingly that the most important survival tactic was rest, recovery, and refueling, even if this had to be done in snow holes. The very best survival tool in the Arctic is to slow down, stop, be aware, consider, plan, and then act. We were trained for action, of course. How could we slow down? We were soldiers. How could we learn to reflect? And in learning these skills, of course, we learned a lot about ourselves. In shorthand, we had to learn to be still in order to know more and do more. And that was especially true when the disorientation factor was rising, when the storms were arriving. 2020 has been a disorientating year. We've all had to reorientate ourselves, learn new survival skills, think more about others, fight off anxiety, combat loneliness, deal with work changes, and refigure our relationships. And especially at this time, in this season, with new storms arriving almost daily, I think God might be saying, slow down, move towards me rest and learn some new rhythms. This is your best thing. Our story this morning, which is really all about Martha, perfectly illustrates this point. Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. Mary, Martha, along with their brother Lazarus, yes, that brother, each became very close friends with Jesus. They loved him, welcomed him, hung out with him, supported him, believed in him. They were like most of us, and Jesus loved them. Mary and Martha got the home ready. They made food, they served food, and made sure all the guests were relaxed. Except at some point, Mary stops doing what man expected of her and does what Jesus expected of her. She stops hosting and starts listening. Mary had become attracted by learning holiness. Martha had become distracted by serving busyness. Verse 40. Mary was distracted with all the preparations she had to make, so she came up to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work alone? Tell her to help me." Many of us may believe that our student days are far behind us, but instinctively we know that Jesus demands we become lifelong learners. The defining key to kingdom life might be how teachable we are. Can we seek and receive advice? When I was at Bible college, we all did an exercise to try and understand how we best learned stuff, how we grasped and used information. In the 1980s, educators Honey and Mumford identified four definitions, four basic types of learners: activists, reflectors, theorists, and pragmatists. We're all probably a little of each. However, after this exercise, it was quite evident that I fell heavily within the pragmatic activist quadrant. In other words, I learn best when given a task and left to get on with it. The more challenging and less repetitive, the better. So you could say I'm nearly, but not quite, a Martha. Understanding myself was very helpful, of course. The survey suggested I learnt best by doing, but doing can get busy, and being busy can make me hurried, which increases stress. I had to change. I'm not an academic high flyer. I'm not likely to improve my IQ too much, but I could learn to slow down, to reflect and think a little bit more. In his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer writes about the time when John Ortberg asked Dallas Willard, an American Christian philosopher, how he could slow his life down as a pastor to preserve his sanity. Willard gave him the now classic response: "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. There's nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day," Willard said. "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Well, that became my new task, because that's how I learn best, remember, as a pragmatic activist, by doing. But I had to stop, I had to learn to stop doing so much and contemplate so much more. In a sense, being with Jesus had to become more of my doing. The writer Hugh Walpole has written about being a generalist and a specialist. He wrote, "The whole secret of life is to be interested in one thing profoundly and a thousand other things well." I had to generalize in doing and specialize in being. I had to work at becoming a contemplative activist. This became my one thing. Martha loved Jesus, welcomed him into her home, served him and supported him. She believed in him, but she was doing too much. She was profoundly in a hurry. And being hurried means we are distracted. Imagine living a distracted life of being unable to concentrate on anything else. Our lives would be chaotic. Just a disclaimer here. This doesn't apply when Match of the Day is on. The author of our upcoming new teaching series here at White Inch, Pete Scazzera, recently spoke from John 6, verse 28, when Jesus was asked what we must do to accomplish the works that God requires of us. And Jesus responds, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Well, Martha clearly believed in Jesus, but Scazzera suggests that a better way to translate that reply, to believe in the one he has sent, is this: relax in the one God has sent. Relax in Jesus as a priority. And then we will have a better quality of life, and we might become circuit breakers of anxiety, all that anxiety around us, absorbing it rather than transmitting it. What if Martha could relax in Jesus? Martha complains about her sister, but Jesus explains about his priorities. Verse 41, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You're in a hurry. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the best part." The best part, Martha, is this one thing from Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." "You've worked really hard, Martha. You and Mary both have, and that's a good thing. But I want you balanced. I want you prepared. I want you emotionally, healthily, and spiritually at one with me. I want you to relax in me." That's the best thing. We all work best from a place of rest, Martha. And you can find that rest in me. That's the best part. May we, each of us, be still and know that one thing. In the following weeks, Shona, Deborah, and myself will be teaching about ways we can increasingly relax in Jesus by understanding a little more about ourselves and by practicing new rhythms of doing. By doing this, we can each have more fulfilled lives as we navigate through our daily challenges. So why don't as many of us as possible spend just a minute now pausing in silence before the Lord, relaxing in him, breathing smoothly, thinking generously, waiting easily. Before I close in a short prayer, and as we end our service with the blessing, why don't we just spend a minute now, just being at one and at peace and relaxing with the Lord. And then let's be together in the virtual coffee lounge. So let's be still and know as we relax in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Minister to us, Father. Bless us. Yeah. help us to connect the deep rhythms of life in you. May those streams of living waters flow over and through us now, Lord. And so I pray, Father, we are so grateful before you, living and eternal King, for returning our soul to us today with compassion. You are faithful beyond measure, and we give humble thanks. Amen.